recently. We were thinking how in the Vaishnav culture, our life is meant to be an act of worship in everything we do, everything we think, everything we speak. And we have a whole system when we worship the deity. At each particular offering, there is a particular mantra, which is not only to invoke the pleasure of the deity, but also to give the particular devotee who is offering the worship a very personal understanding of his relationship with Krishna. In the Vaishnav culture, impersonalism is considered to be a disease. It is due to our impersonal tendency toward God that we also treat one another in an impersonal way. And this is the cause of so much unhappiness amongst people in this world. We feel an emptiness, a dissatisfaction in our heart, a meaninglessness in our life, when those who we want to be near and dear to us treat us in an impersonal or cold-hearted way. Is this not true? Any little child is longing for affection, begging for affection. It appears to me that usually when children cry, it's not because they're suffering some physical pain. It's that they want attention. They want personal affection. The parent is busy performing so many activities, and the child doesn't feel like a person. The child wants personal relationship. Therefore, the child starts crying like anything, pretending to be in total pain and distress, just to somehow or other get the attention of the parents. And if that attention is not very highly personal, the child will go on crying and crying. From children we could learn the uncovered naked nature of humankind. Because when we get older, we become more egoistic and sophisticated in hiding our own weaknesses, not admitting what's really the problem within our hearts. But actually, because the soul is personal, and the soul, only real satisfaction is to have personal loving reciprocation with Krishna. And in the spiritual world, every living being is part of Krishna. We have intimate personal relationships with everyone we are close to. Not even for a moment in this spiritual world is there any tinge of impersonalism. Impersonalism means neglect, is it not? Recently we were speaking with some parents and they were explaining, because they're performing so many activities in their job and elsewhere, their children are very unhappy. You can give child so many toys to play with. You can sit the child before Kali Yuga's, the window into Kali Yuga, called the television set. And the child's mind may temporarily be diverted. But unless the child feels my mother cares about me, my father loves me, the child will simply be miserable. Because the soul wants personal relationships. Even amongst brahmacharis, who are so simple and so renounced, brahmacharis can easily give up nice, soft beds to sleep on the hard floor. They can give up all nice clothes to wear a piece of cloth. They can give up their nice curly locks of jet black hair and be bald. Material life, the worst fate is to be bald. People of terrible distress. People go to psychiatrists and psychologists in the Western world when they see their hairs falling out. And all of a sudden, like the ocean in low tide, it's going back further and further. And they're hoping maybe in the full moon it will be high tide. But it just, the tide gets lower and lower. They're, my hair, it's coming out. And they, all types of technology and research to somehow or other grow your hairs back. Because to be bald is a very, very terrible thing. Yet here, these young men at the prime of their youth, with all this long, thick, flowing hairs, they just shave it all off and throw it in the garbage. Hare Krishna. And privacy, very little privacy. Possessions, no possessions. There's a little box, whatever necessities of life has to fit in that little box. And these things are very easy for a brahmachari. They can live blissfully without any of the pleasures of this world. They never go to restaurants or hotels, they never go to cinemas, they never watch television, they never listen to the radio. They never listen to materialistic music. However, if they feel neglected by the other brahmacharis, if there is a sense of impersonalism, they become frustrated and miserable. The real pleasure the soul is longing for is personal relationship. Everything in Krishna consciousness is personal. When we come in the morning, we wake the deities by chanting mantras. Oh Lord, son of Nanda and Yashoda, now it is time to wake up. And when it is time to put them to rest, we chant certain mantras. Now it's time to go to sleep. And we even put them in little beds. And we massage their feet. And we offer nice little flowers and water and some nice refreshing beverage, drink and food before they take rest. And then we close the lights and we make sure no one makes any noise. And after they get proper rest, we ring a little bell and we come in and very sweetly we sing songs to wake them up. Similarly, we should have the same consciousness when we are dealing with each other. Very personal. In fact, when we worship devotees, in my own life I have seen how we actually have mantras to wake up and put to sleep the devotees. This is my own observation. It's nothing official, please. Do not quote me on this. But I have found the mantra which quickly puts devotees to sleep is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. When we chant this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that's like a signal for Vaishnavas. Now it is time to go to sleep. And when it's time to wake them up, we have a mantra. Sarira Avijaya. Then everyone knows, now it's time to wake up. This is the personal touch in which we worship devotees. And we have at Radha Gopinath Temple really strived to increase the consciousness in every way possible to give devotees a feeling that Krishna is a person, that Krishna's love and care is the sweetest thing in all of creation. That love and care is revealed to us and can be understood through his devotees. Because only when we are in a very advanced and purified stage can we truly experience the personal love of God. For Krishna, every living being is so dear. And those who come to Krishna to make efforts to serve him become so especially dear. And those who actually surrender to Krishna
almost, the doctor said, this kind of cancer, so much pain. Can't eat hardly. She's just chanting and hearing. And she told me on the phone that there's a fair in a city close to where I'm living in Idaho. And I'm trying to convince this family to take me in a stretcher to that fair to distribute Prabhupada's books. She said, because I'm getting so much nectar and hope, and I'm getting so much spiritual rejuvenation from these books, I just want to share them and give them to the whole world. She said, but I don't think they'll take me. She can't even lift her arms right. She just wanted to go to the fair and distribute books. She's happy. And then she told me that I was thinking that I should just spend so many years of my life making arrangements for money. And Krishna is so kind, he just took me out of that consciousness. And now all I'm doing is just, Krishna, I'm yours. You will provide for my family, you will provide, all I have to do is surrender to you. There's nothing else you're giving me in life except your lotus feet. You've taken everything away in this entire creation except your lotus feet. And therefore I am the most fortunate. And I thank you so much. And do you know what this god sister's name is? In 1970, Srila Prabhupada initiated her. And Prabhupada knows, he knows the heart of each devotee. Then she was in perfect health. Her name is Kunti Devi Dasi. Kunti prayed, Vipada Shanti Pashashvatat Vatakrajagatku. But let calamities come again and again, because in the face of those calamities I see you, Krishna. I have nowhere else to turn. So she is truly a genuine embodiment of Kunti Devi Dasi, servant of Kunti, following in the footsteps of Kunti. Your question? One more question? Yes. All right, two more questions. You cannot be partial in such a... Huh? You may go. Attentive that what we're doing is for Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that even in the most ordinary activities of our day, we should be very attentive and conscious to do it as good as we possibly can, because whatever we do is an offering to Krishna. If you're brushing your teeth, you're doing it for Krishna. So you should do it first class. If you're putting on your dhoti or your sari, you're doing it for Krishna. So you should do it with that in mind and do it nicely. If you're sweeping the floor, if you're doing cooking, every word we speak, we should be very conscientious that this word that I speak is going to be productive to myself and others to come closer to Krishna. And in order to maintain an awareness by which we can aspire in this way, we have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully every day. We have to read Bhagavad Gita, come to classes, study Srila Prabhupada's books, they constantly remind us of how we must be attentive, or Krishna conscious. Not Krishna unconscious, but Krishna conscious at all times. So if we have good sadhana, we're chanting our 16 rounds as careful as possible every day, and we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and we're humbly trying to perform our service in a nice way, then Krishna will help us. Man helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. So we should aspire to be very conscientious and attentive.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, text 20, recorded on August 5th, 1997 at Chicago.
This is the place.
Shikaranda Mahaprabhu ki.
This is the perfection of life. To always remember the beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dancing in ecstasy before the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. Let that be the ultimate object of our meditation. Prabhuji has asked me to speak on this verse today.
Gunan etan atityatvel dehi deha sabhutavan janma mrityu jara dukhaya vimukta mrittam ashnute. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life, purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. How one can stay in the transcendental position even in this body, in full Krishna consciousness, is explained in this verse. The Sanskrit word dehi means embodied. Although one is within this material body, by his advancement in spiritual knowledge, he can be free from the influence of the modes of nature. He can enjoy the happiness of spiritual life even in this body, because after leaving the body, he is certainly going to the spiritual sky. But even in this body, he can enjoy spiritual happiness. In other words, devotional service and Krishna consciousness is the sign of liberation from material entanglement. And this will be explained in the 18th chapter. When one is freed from the influence of the modes of material nature, he enters into devotional service. Jnantimidandasya Jnananjana chalakaya Chakshu unvilitam jena tasmai Sri Guruve namaha Vansha kalpatarubhyascha Kriva sindhubhya evacha Adithanam pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advait Gadadhar Srivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy the nectar even in this life. This chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Truth, who has descended in his original form of Krishna into this world of duality, is explaining the essential nature of this material world. How the living being struggles and suffers at every phase of life in so many ways. Why that suffering is taking place and how to become free from that suffering. Not just temporarily, like we do from some intoxication or painkiller or by exciting our mind and senses in such a way that we temporarily forget all the anxieties of our life. But he is teaching us how to cleanse our hearts and purify our minds in such a way that the true, blissful, eternal nature of the soul is uncovered. Krishna explains that the soul is always full of bliss because it is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna, who is the embodiment of Satchit Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Therefore, our essential nature is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of happiness. But because we have forgotten our nature and we are identifying our entire existence with this external, superficial nature, therefore we have to suffer due to that temporary condition that we are identifying ourselves with. And this material nature is composed of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. And these three modes of material nature are interacting in innumerable ways and creating so many different types of enjoyment and distress, creating so many incredible forms of duality. And these dualities are like the limitless waves on an ocean. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're honored, and sometimes we're dishonored. Sometimes we feel pleasure, and other times pain. Success and failure. Birth and death. Honor and dishonor. There are unlimited dualities. And we are very attached to enjoying the positive side and very fearful of the negative side. But you cannot separate one from the other any more than you can accept the heads from the tails if you take the coin. If you take the coin, you have both. If you want the enjoyments of this world, you have to take the miseries of this world. And to the degree you enjoy, to that degree you will suffer. To the degree you find pleasure, to that degree you will have pain. The root cause of all suffering is attachment to these three modes of material nature. But the fact is, we cannot just become detached from them, because the soul by nature is looking for bliss. You cannot be detached from the sources of suffering unless you attach yourself to something higher. And Bhagavad Gita is teaching us this science. How to attach ourselves to Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure, who is the source of all bliss. And the process of attaching ourselves to Krishna is through serving Krishna. The connection between the soul and God is bhakti, or devotional service. And devotional service begins with hearing the truth, as was originally announced by Krishna in this world, and as coming down through his representatives and through his words in the scriptures. And then by repeating these truths and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
This is the nectar that every living being is longing for. It can all be found through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the mood of a humble servant of the Lord. We have so many fears and so many anxieties as long as we are not tasting the nectar of Krishna. One time, Lord Chaitanya, who is the incarnation of God, Krishna himself, who appeared with his full opulences into this world, only 500 years ago, Srila Prabhupada, when he would talk about Lord Chaitanya's coming, he talked like it happened a few minutes before. He said, recently, only 500 years ago, the Lord has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in the eyes of eternity, we cannot imagine how fortunate we are that the Lord has come. Lord